This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America, a Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Today is Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday, true believers remember and celebrate the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28 that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Jesus' dead body came to life and arose from the grave where it had been laid to rest. This is what we celebrate today, and really what we celebrate every week when on the first day of the week as the New Testament church, we gather for public worship. The Christian Sabbath on the first day of the week is a weekly memorial of the resurrection of Jesus. In our day, a day in which everything seems to need a scientific explanation, and a day in which the Bible is questioned, we must emphasize that the resurrection of Jesus was historical, that it actually happened. Many people today celebrate Easter Sunday, but at the same time they deny that Jesus rose from the dead. It's common today to view the resurrection of Jesus Christ as symbolic or mythical. The resurrection is explained as the legacy of Jesus living on in the memories of his followers. People following science rather than scripture will say, it is impossible for a human body once dead to rise again. And so, they will try to find some other explanation for the biblical account of the resurrection of Jesus. But every true believer takes the scripture at its word, believing that Christ physically and literally arose from the grave, that his body, which was dead, came back to life. We believe that the resurrection really happened. We don't believe this because it can be substantiated scientifically or with physical evidence. Rather, the proof of the resurrection is found in the Word of God. By faith in God's Word, we believe the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible throughout teaches the resurrection of Christ. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. In Psalm 16, verse 10, David speaks prophetically of Christ. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. When Jesus spoke to his disciples of his death, he repeatedly told them that on the third day he would rise again from the dead. And after Jesus arose, he sent heavenly messengers, angels, who said, He is not here. He has risen as he said. And the disciples said to one another, He is risen indeed. Many times the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples to demonstrate to them that he was indeed risen. There are eyewitness accounts of his resurrection. And so in the days and weeks and months following Jesus' resurrection, it was an undisputed fact, so much so that the Jews had to fabricate a cover-up story. There's no question that the Bible teaches that Jesus arose. Every true believer who takes the Bible at its word believes that Jesus arose. We do that not just because the Bible says it's so, but because the resurrection of Jesus is essential to the message of the gospel. It is an essential part of Jesus' saving work for us. When the followers of Jesus after Pentecost began to preach the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus was an essential component of their message. Not only did Jesus come and die in the place of sinners, but he arose the third day, and he is alive today, ruling over all, and he will come again as the living judge of this world. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which also ye are saved, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, he said to his audience who had killed Jesus that God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. In Acts 10, Peter preached the resurrection of Jesus to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. In Acts 13, verses 29 and 30, Paul preached concerning Jesus. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And again, in Acts 17, verse 31, preaching at Athens to an audience of Gentiles who had never heard the gospel before, Paul said that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, that is, Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. By raising Jesus from the dead, God has told us that Jesus is alive and that he's coming again as judge. And as Romans 1 verse 4 tells us, he declared by the resurrection from the dead that Jesus is the Son of God. And so this was emphasized in the preaching of the early church as an essential component of the gospel message. Why? Why is it so important to believe in the resurrection of Jesus? In the greatest chapter in the Bible on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us why the resurrection of Jesus is so important. And here, understand, Paul is answering people who are skeptical about the resurrection and about Jesus' resurrection. Paul says this in verses 16 through 20. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Just stop here with me and notice a few things in what Paul says. He says, if dead people don't rise again, then Jesus didn't rise. And if Jesus didn't rise, well, your faith in Jesus is a waste of time and energy. And if Jesus didn't rise, you are still in your sins. There was no power in his death. The grave, and not Jesus, had the victory. If Jesus didn't rise, there's no forgiveness. There's no overcoming of the curse of death. There's no power to overcome sin. You are still in your sins. And if Jesus didn't rise, then those who have already died have perished. There's no hope for them. If Jesus didn't rise, no one is delivered from hell. No one dies with hope. If Christianity is only a religion that has to do with the here and now, with being good people in this world, with finding joy in this life only, if Christianity has no connection to another life, if it gives no hope to people beyond death, well, then Christians are the most senseless people on the planet. Then we are of all men most miserable. Why live as followers of Christ in this world? Why deny yourself and suffer for Christ when there's no resurrection? But now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, the resurrection means all these things. We are no longer in our sins. Sin has been paid. Death has been conquered. The power of sin has been broken. We have hope beyond the grave. Jesus is alive and has overcome not only death, but hell and Satan. And so our faith in him is not vain, and we are not miserable and senseless. But the resurrection gives sense to our whole existence as Christians. We have hope. We have joy. We believe in a God who lives. We trust in a Savior who delivers from death. We are here in this world on a journey to a heavenly home. This is what it means that Jesus is risen. This is why we believe that the third day he rose again from the dead. And to be saved, we must believe in our hearts that God raised up Jesus from the dead. Romans 10, verse 9. Our full confession is that our Savior both died and rose again. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ extends far beyond his own bodily resurrection. It reaches into the 21st century, into the hearts and lives of believers today. There are great benefits today for us as a result of Jesus' resurrection. Let me mention three of them. The first is that we become partakers of the righteousness which he purchased for us by his death. In his resurrection, Jesus gives to us what he first earned for us. By his death, Jesus earned our righteousness. He paid the price for our sins. In his resurrection, he both proves that the payment for sin was sufficient, and he comes as the living Christ and applies that righteousness to us. It's important to remember that all our righteousness, all our being right with God, is in Jesus Christ. We are not acceptable before God on account of our own work or any work or worth that comes from us or any other creature. We must not dig deep into our own souls or strive in our own lives to make ourselves acceptable to God. We are accepted and acquitted only through trusting in what Christ has done for us. The resurrection tells us that God receives us. The resurrection is a declaration from God concerning Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and so a declaration concerning us, all who believe in him. Romans 4 verse 25 says, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If Christ is not raised, you are still in your sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Dear believer, do you take solace and comfort in the resurrection of Christ? When you are weighed down with the burden and guilt of your sin, do you meditate on the reality of Christ, your sin-bearer, being raised from the dead and overcoming what your sin deserves? What he earned, he gives to us. The second benefit of Jesus' resurrection that reaches to us today is that by the power of his resurrection, we are raised up to a new life. I did not say we will be raised up to a new life, but that we are raised up to a new life. Already now, in the present, today, we are raised up to a new life. The new life that I speak of here is the life of the Holy Spirit which comes into us through regeneration. Through the work of the Spirit, we are united with Jesus Christ our Savior so that his work and his life becomes ours. Romans 6 says that through faith we are buried with him in his baptism and raised with him to newness of life. This is the new life of sanctification, a life of holy separation and service to God, a life of godliness and obedience. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. He means that through faith in the death of Christ, his death, Christ's death, is my death. He pays for my curse. But faith takes the believer further. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, I'm alive now, in the flesh, in the present. I'm alive through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the privilege and joy of every believer to possess the new life of Christ in his soul. Because of this life, we are victorious as Christians. No, sin is not altogether gone and dead and conquered. It will not be abolished until our physical death. And meanwhile, it wages war against our souls and the life of Christ which is in us. But in Christ, we are more than conquerors. We have victory. And confessing the resurrection, we declare our victory over sin. And then we go to war with sin. Paul says in Romans 6, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God." This is what we know, we believe, we confess about ourselves as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. This is how we evaluate ourselves spiritually in the present. Whereas by nature we were dead in trespasses and sins, now we are alive through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Let me say it again. We declare our victory in Jesus Christ's resurrection. And then we go to war with sin. Apart from the life of Christ, we are dead. And we can never take on the enemy of sin. But in him and with his life, we have the victory. The third present benefit of Jesus' resurrection is this, that we have a promise and pledge of our own future bodily resurrection. In Job 19, Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job says these words knowing that he will die. But believing that his Redeemer lives, he knows that in his flesh he will also live again someday to see his God. Job made this confession long before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Job believed in a living God. And so he believed that he too would live to see God. And Jesus is not dead. No, he lives. We believe in a living Savior. And his life means that we will live. He's risen as a pledge, a guarantee, a promise that our bodies will also be raised. Think about this. This is a wonderful double promise. A promise that works from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth. A little of our humanity, represented in the human nature of Jesus Christ, is already raised and living with God our Father in heaven. Colossians 3 verse 3 says that our life is hid with Christ in God. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20, Jesus is called the first fruits of them that slept. A little of the earth, a little of our human nature, of who we are, is taken to heaven. And is in the presence of God, and is glorified as the first fruits to show that more will follow. And at the same time, from heaven to earth, a deposit of the blessed and eternal resurrection of Jesus Christ is left here with us. A little of Christ's heavenly life, the power of the living Christ, is put into our hearts. And becomes the experience of our lives in this world of sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 5 says, "We have the earnest," or the down payment, "of the Spirit." And so we have a promise in that of our final resurrection. How blessed the final resurrection day will be. The living Christ will come on the clouds of heaven. He will issue a powerful, effective wake-up call to all who are in their graves. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, believers will be changed. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and death will forever be swallowed up in eternal victory. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the answer to man's ultimate problem, the problem of death. It removes the curse of eternal death from me. It overcomes death in my nature. It assures me that my dead body will be raised to be with the Lord. Faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ assures all this for me. Did Jesus rise from the dead? If you don't believe it, you are still in your sins. If you don't believe it, you are in a miserable state. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Believe it. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for the power of Jesus Christ, which overcame death and the grave, and by which he suffered for us the agonies and torments of hell which our sins deserved. And we give thanks for the power of Jesus' resurrection that reaches into our hearts today to change us, to make us alive, to give us eyes for heaven, eyes and hearts and lips and lives of praise. O living God, give us thy life, we pray. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at ReformedWitnessHour.org or email us at mail@ReformedWitnessHour.org.